Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
You? Okay. Provost way back on the Fantasy Feet. T and Sal here with the crown. Going to hit you with the top story of the day. And it happened about 30 seconds before we opened up our mics. Really not a surprise that the Knicks couldn't find a way to retain Hartenstein. Nobody's fault. He just played himself into money that the Knicks certainly couldn't, based on the cap and based on what they've got committed, they couldn't manipulate it. They just couldn't circumvent that. There's no way around it. It is what it is. When you have the Thunder giving them $30 million a year, that's tough. However, while I don't blame anybody, it's just the unfortunate circumstances of having a very good, deep roster where a lot of guys getting paid, the ceiling, make no mistake about it, the ceiling for the New York Knicks dropped the moment Hartenstein signed that deal, Sal.
Yeah, season is over. I mean, the Knicks might as well pack up and go home unless they could go out there and really solidify their roster with somebody who could bring everything that Hartenstein brought to this team over the last couple of years. I just don't know how it can go on. I don't know how Knick fans are supposed to function today after you hear this news right around 10 a.m., as BT said. We got it. We barely could get through the show, to be honest with you. I contemplated going home. I know BT did as well. I just don't know how the Knicks are going to recover from this. I mean, come on, BT. He's a backup center. Championship parade still on. What, would you rather have Paul George and his 34-year-old legs always banged up with the Sixers paying $220 million for him? I'll take the way the Knicks are built over anybody else. Look, you said it. It's not like the Knicks didn't want him back. And he didn't want to be here. He did want to be here. He just couldn't leave all that money on the table. So be it. Move on. And the Knicks will find themselves a backup center. It should be an easy thing to get. He was great for them last year. They needed him a lot more. But this year, they're not going to need him as much.
See, there's a point, and maybe this is on me. Not that I don't pay attention to what the other teams are doing. Of course I do. And you measure yourself to an extent against certain teams. But now, it's just the Knicks roster is so good that I don't want to say it's almost immaterial what the other teams do. That's ridiculous. But for years, we were so focused on, oh, this team's got that, this right. Got this, that. The Knicks are so good that that's not even my concern right now.
Right, they're now on par with the best of rosters in the league. Maybe not the best, but they have one of the best rosters in the league.
I certainly think that they do, but the problem is, from a matchup perspective now, the teams that you're going to try to beat, whether it's the Celtics in the conference finals or wherever, maybe Philly, if they can stay healthy, and that's certainly debatable. And, of course, Denver with Jokic, who's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's playing the five.
Well, OKC now is loaded up.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I mean, you say that with a smirk.
No,
they are.
I know.
I'll tell you this. I would rather, and I wouldn't even think about this for more than a half a second. I think if the Knicks brass was given an injection of truth serum, I believe that they would side with me. If they had the choice, the little, now they just couldn't offer him that money. They couldn't. They weren't allowed based on the not having the full bird rights for Hartenstein. But if they can go into next season with Hartenstein or Mitchell Robinson, there's no doubt they want Hartenstein.
You know,
I really believe that.
If they see, I believe the opposite, especially Tibbs. I don't know about Leon Rose. I would bet Tibbs would take Mitchell Robinson because he's the far better defender, rim protector. Those things are very important. Now, can he stay healthy? Nah, that's been a big issue. For a guy his size, his big body, those ankles, legs, feet start getting banged up. It's going to be an issue, and it has been an issue for Mitch. So the older that he gets, you don't think it's going to get any better. But I'd rather have the superior rim protector, the better defender, the better rebounder, especially when you look at the four that they have around him with Brunson, Bridges, Randall, and Ananobi. That's as good of a four, in my opinion, as you could have in the league. I'll live with the defensive stud being the rim protector. Now, they do need a backup center, and it's got to be somebody serviceable. I prefer somebody with an offensive game even better than Hartenstein, who really didn't have an offensive game. Better facilitator, sure. I want somebody who could pass a little bit and somebody who could shoot a little bit. That's what the Knicks need.
All right, let's get back to the phone and see what you guys think here. We are, as always, inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So the Knicks minus Hartenstein. Also, if you guys missed any of this, just free Odyssey app, hit rewind. The Mets exactly through the halfway point. Who are they? And the Stroman Torres stuff that we had a chance to react to. Let's get back to it. How about Ed in Marlboro, New York? Eddie, it's BT and Sal. What's going on?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
My biggest thing is I think losing Hartenstein's a big deal, to be honest with you. I think he would have been a starting center this year. And how many games has Robinson played per year without being injured?
He's hurt every year.
Right, but that's not the debate because, I mean, BT and I could debate that or we could debate that, but it wasn't the Knicks' choice. They didn't really have a choice here. So this is not like they chose Robinson over Hartenstein. This is just is what it is. Hartenstein left for more money. Knicks couldn't pay him. So now what? Is the season over because they don't have Hartenstein? You're that devastated?
But the biggest thing that bothers me is somebody saying Robinson, they like his defense. I mean, you know, Hartenstein played good defense, too.
Yep.
I mean, Robinson is, if he plays 40 games, that's a lot for him. His ankle is always getting reconstructed.
He's got hurt every year.
He's having his ankle.
Hey, yeah. Well, then what you guys doing is criticizing Leon Rose for signing him.
Yeah, I mean,
They also could have signed Hartenstein at the time for a longer deal, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. They didn't. They chose 2 years, which restricted them from
being I can't criticize them for that, though, because nobody really offered the 2 years, $8 or $9 million. Like, the Knicks were still forward-thinking enough to identify a player like Hartenstein that they valued more than the rest of the league. So they were ahead on the Hartenstein curve. Nobody could guess that it would get here. And when it did, as you pointed out, there's no way to re-sign him based on the finances. But yeah, I guess in hindsight, you know, we can, as much as Leon Rose has been phenomenal, I don't love this deal with Mitchell Robinson.
Right.
He missed 50 games last year, 20-something the year before, 13 the year before that, 50 the year before. He's hurt every year.
Yeah, I mean, I still like the player. I like what he brings. It's something different. It's something that's hard to find in today's NBA in particular. A guy that can defend like that, a big. I don't think he's as bad on the perimeter as you do. And by the way, they don't need him as much anymore now.
I don't think he's bad. I just think Hartenstein's a little better on the perimeter. I don't think he's bad on the perimeter.
I like Mitch. I just wish he could stay healthy. I think a healthy Mitchell Robinson with these other four around him, that is a legit starting five.
They do have a sick roster. That's why I'm as invested in this conversation because it's time to win a championship.
But don't you think that they should be able to find a... all right, fine. I'll meet you in the middle. I'll give you that Hartenstein. He was really good here a year ago. Maybe he's somebody that's on the come up and is going to be a big part of what OKC here does moving forward. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's a drop-off, though, for the Knicks, it's going to be at the backup center position. You can't find somebody that can pass the ball.
But he wouldn't have been the backup this year. That's the thing.
Yeah,
he would have been starter.
That. And by the way, I do think there's a better chance the Knicks are going to go smaller here with their roster because you're not going to want to have Josh Hart and DiVincenzo on the bench the entire time. And if they're not going to be a in the starting five, I mean, there's going to be a lot of minutes to be had with those guys, where I would bet you that Randle, more often than not, will get the majority of minutes at the five. You know, basketball nowadays is positionless, yep, as everybody says. I would bet you you'll see more lineups with Randle as the big on the floor, and either DiVincenzo or Hart or some combination of those other, I guess, you know, five guys, OG, Bridges, Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo, with Randle, as opposed to Mitch and then everybody else.
Let's get Milton, Brooklyn. Milton, what's going on, buddy? How you been?
What's going on, fellas? First, let me just say, how did we get Bridges? Oh, my God. Sick. I am so hyped up. This team is going to take it to another level. I am shocked at this discussion about who's going to, who cares? Both those centers were flawed. First of all, Robinson's always hurt. Hartenstein was decent. Let's not get out of control here. I could pick up somebody right now, put them in the starting five, and this team is going to win 50 games in their sleep. You could get, if you get James Wiseman, he's 23 years old. Pick him up right now, and I will be so ecstatic. Yeah, might... even believe. I'll bring back, what about Dwight Howard? Why can't Dwight Howard come
God
back?
No, God, no.
I'm just saying, I know that's over the top. I know, but Wiseman is the perfect guy right now. He's still young. He's only 23. The Warriors gave up on him. He was playing a lot more decent with the Pistons. I think he could just fit in perfectly. And I'm just saying, people, this is just a little, this is like getting a brand new car and you break the rearview mirror. You just replace it. The car's still going to be beautiful. It's a small little piece. It's not, we got like four perfect pieces, and you guys are complaining about this little thing. Like, this team is so good.
Are you listening to the show? I'm not. I'm not worried about it.
No, I know. Yeah. No, not you guys. I'm talking about, you know, people that I know.
I am.
You are, and for the, you know, I'm agreeing with Sal 100% on this one. BT, normally I'm on your side, but BT, this is, I mean, Harness, he's good, but let's, I mean, you're getting a little, this is not Bill Walton here.
Listen, I got it. It's not Bill Walton. Understood. I don't know what to tell you guys. You know, we watched Hartenstein play, and we have different opinions. I trust my basketball instincts more than I trust Milton in Brooklyn, more than I trust Sal's. For me, I'm talking about from what I see. Just like Sal trusts his instincts
more. Right, you gotta trust what you believe. Yeah, that's fine.
And every night I see this guy doing things that are certainly mostly quantifiable. Some things are less quantifiable, but they're just winning things.
By the way, this goes back.
I overlooked that.
This goes back to us talking about it in the postseason. Like, it's consistent.
True.
I'm just not a... I mean, he's fine.
And I love him.
I know the importance. You're right. You've always loved him a lot more than I did.
Yes, I have.
And I just... I mean, I'm not going to say they're not going to miss him at all. I don't think... I think the Knicks last year needed Hartenstein to get to where they got and go as far as they did. This year, it's going to be a totally different team with Randle back, with the addition of Bridges, with Anunoby for a full season, where I don't even think we'll think twice about Hartenstein, the backup center or would-be starting center. They're going to be more than just fine.
We also jumped into the Stroman Tourist stuff from earlier in the weekend. Kevin's in Belmore wanted to jump in. Kev, what's going on?
All right, guys. Wanted to actually talk about both things. So I'll talk about the Hartenstein first because you're on that now. But if you look at that per 48, like you were talking about earlier,
mm-hmm,
like looking at Chua's numbers per 48 minus assists, because Hartenstein can, you know, he can get those dimes in there. But aside from that, they're about the same. So we signed a Chua.
They're not going to be able to.
The cost.
I don't think they're going to be able to. And by the way, I think me and Boomer are the only ones who would be for it. I like Precious Achiuwa.
Boomer, again today.
Me too.
Again today with Achiuwa. I don't know what's worse, Boomer's love for Achiuwa or the fact that he sprays ketchup on his french fries.
I do the same thing.
I swear to God,
I just dump it right on. Yeah, I do.
What?
I heard that part. I do. Yeah.
How could you possibly
How
do
could
that?
You not?
Because you're not getting equal spread with the ketchup.
That's not right.
You got to take a fry and dip it. Otherwise, you get some fries without any ketchup.
It gets a little messy.
Yeah, it's messy. It's all over the place.
I work around it.
Wow.
Yeah, I do.
Man, you really are a boomer. Please tell me you don't put mayo on your bacon, egg, and cheese.
I don't want to go nuts on the cholesterol.
Did you hear them talking about that?
I didn't. I don't, but if it was on there, I actually would enjoy it, but I don't ask for it.
You're a big mayo guy,
too? I love mayo. I put mayo on almost every Italian hero. Like, I'm a very, very...
I used to love it.
The only time I used to have mustard was, like, back in the day, bologna.
Right.
Like, bologna with real good mustard is
really?
Good.
Really? I like bologna with mayo.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had that in a while. Bologna and cheese with mayo.
Oh, that was great.
But, again, Dad? Bologna and cheese?
Yeah, yeah,
you'll eat it and you'll like it.
Did you ever have liverwurst? That wasn't big in our house.
No.
My neighbor used to have that. No, but, like, roast beef, ham... mayo. With Italian bread?
Yeah,
absolutely.
That,
mayo.
I'm with you there.
Chicken cutlets. Yeah, a little bit.
No.
Yes.
But Boomer, to me, it was always disgusting. And then hear him talk about it, it was even more like you spread your ketchup on the fries at a diner.
Yep.
No.
Just one big squirt.
Yeah, but then you're not getting equal. And then did you hear Jerry, what he said he does with
pizza? I don't know if I heard Jerry's. What does he do?
What do you like to drink with a slice of pizza?
That's one of the few times I have soda.
Okay.
Like,
right,
maybe ginger ale, or I'm not a big soda guy, but maybe McDonald's or Wendy's or
a few times.
Growing
up, it was always pizza, soda, whatever.
Yeah, even now.
Like, if I'm ever, I don't drink soda much anymore, but if I do, it would be with a slice of pizza.
Okay.
Jerry has a glass of milk. That's exactly what I said.
And he's got
pizza.
A vowel at the end of his name. He should be ashamed of himself
as exactly
an Italian.
Right.
That's gross.
You're an Italian. What kind of Italian drinks milk with pizza?
Ugh.
I tried to bust the chops a little bit when I first saw him, and he just wanted none of it. So, yeah, whatever. People like what they like.
He doesn't dip it, does he?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, my. Like, what if he has, like a chicken cutlet parmesan hero, too? Like, he goes milk all the time?
God,
milk with gravy?
That grosses me out.
That's
man.
Nasty.
Come on. I'm surprised you're otherwise a clean individual like Boomer. I am.
Ketchup
all over the fries.
I'll even lick the fingers if I know my hands are clean.
And you'll still eat the fries with your hand? Because who's eating fries with a fork?
Not me.
Come on. Yeah.
No, I'm not even going to try to fool anybody. I just devour it with my hands.
But you spray the ketchup all over it, huh?
Yeah.
No wonder.
What do you mean, no wonder?
Well, you and Boomer have things in common. You both spread your ketchup
over
fries.
We're both winners. That's what it's
called. Yeah, and you both love Princess Achua. Or whatever his name is. Precious Achua. By the way, I can't get his name right. Now, he's gone. Boyle just gave me the information.
He's going to be gone. Where's he going?
Knicks declined the qualifying offer on him, so he is now an unrestricted free agent. They still could sign him, but they no longer have the ability to match other teams' offers.
That's what I thought. Yeah. He's a goner.
Oh, how are they going to survive?
Without pressures, it's going to be tough for me, a Boomer. It'll be tough. Let me get, how about Nick up in Westchester with BT and Sal? What's up, Nick?
What's up, guys?
Yo.
I'm in the hot sun. You're talking about milk and pizza making me sick. But
that's right,
I want to talk about, I don't understand how you could, in a vacuum, even like injuries aside, prefer Robinson the Hartenstein. I know there's nothing the Knicks could do about him. It's not about that. I'm just with Sal's sake with defense. It's like Hartenstein is just such an all around complete player. He is so much better than Mitchell Robinson.
Yep.
Like even if Mitch played 82, Hartenstein can run the floor. He can pass the ball. And you say he has no offensive game. He's elite from within like 8 feet.
Never misses.
Never misses.
Great screener.
Never misses.
Go back and watch some of the playoff games. Tell me he never misses again. He misses.
Okay.
Trust me.
What is Mitchell Robinson doing on the offense?
Who's a better defensive player, Mitchell or Hartenstein?
Let me ask you this. Who's a better basketball player? Hartenstein.
They're not the same. They're not the same. There's no way.
It's marginal.
No. I don't look at the numbers, Nick. I'm not a stats guy like you. I watch the games. Tell me again.
I watch all 82, Sal.
Then you can't tell me that Mitchell Robinson's not a better defender than Hartenstein. He is.
I have one last point to make about Leon, if I can, real quick.
I just want to get this home so you get it. He's a better Mitch.
Sure.
The reason why I said I'd rather have Robinson, he's a better defensive player, he's a better rim protector, and he's a better rebounder than Hartenstein. That's how I feel about it. To me, those are factual things. You want to say that Hartenstein's more well-rounded? Understood. Runs the floor better? Sure. Better passer? Sure. Better offensive game? Sure.
Better for this team?
You could say that. I'd rather have the defensive stud and the rebounder with this starting four in particular. Go ahead.
I hear you. I just feel like it's a marginal increase on the defense compared to the all-around package.
I agree with you.
But what I was going to say is Leon got this guy, Ihart, like you were saying. He had the foresight. No one knew about him. They saw value that no one else saw. I do have faith that they'll find another backup center because I think Mitch is going to start now. And I think that we're going to find someone that could be a Nick Richards, maybe someone where they're going to find value and get the most out of them, because that was what this front office and this organization does, and it feels good to have faith that they're going to do that.
And
you know, it's a year.
It's exactly right, Nick, but that's the point. Where you're, for years, we're chasing a superstar and then multiple superstars. The hard part is over for this team. They've gotten the hard pieces. They've got four legitimate players in the NBA in their starting rotation. Jalen Brunson, who's taken superstardom, you know, this town by storm. He's a legit superstar.
Yep.
I don't care what anybody says.
Aaron Judge, one. He's number two.
I would even put him number one. Now, I'm not saying Judge the best player I've ever seen, but Jalen Brunson, because it unifies the one team
that
unifies
the town. I got you.
But whatever. Yeah, we're nitpicking here. But Brunson is a legitimate star in the game.
Superstar.
We didn't expect that when they got him. He is. He's turned into a superstar, and you'd rather have nobody else because of his heart. He's going to end up taking less money in all likelihood to extend you, all those different things. Then the chemistry that they have with the guys around him, bring in Bridges, who's a guy who I think is on the verge, just like Brunson or Hartenstein. People look at it for what he's done or what he's been, what he is now. We and the Knicks are looking at it as what he will be with this team. Where I think, oh, well, they traded all that for a guy who's not even an all-star. He'll be an all-star. Randall has been an all-star. All-NBA. Ananobi, valuable player. Again, borderline all-star player, NBA champion.
Great
think
defender.
Think about that. Yeah, right. Two elite wing defenders.
Yeah.
Those are things that are hard to find. Finding a center to replace Hartenstein, while it may not be as good, you upgrade the other areas and maybe you lose a little bit there, but it shouldn't be that difficult to find a guy who could move the ball a little bit and run the floor.
I admit I'm nitpicking, but that's how important he was last year. And we'll see if they can close the gap without him. I think it's going to be a real issue, but I hope I'm wrong. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz, and we've got a pair of field level tickets to see those Bombers take on Tampa Bay at the stadium on Friday, July 19th. I mean, summer's going quick. It's already July. Wow. Right now, we'll do call the number 10-866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, which is the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and The Fan. And just a heads up, make sure you guys listen again tomorrow right here with BT and Sal, same time, roughly, another chance to win.
You say summer's going fast, BT. Obviously, we're just getting into the holiday week, you know, this week with 4th of July, looking forward to it, and everybody taking some vacation in the summer and all that stuff. I saw a tweet yesterday that actually depressed me. It was it was like if the Falcons whatever tweeted 10 weeks from today or something like only 10 weeks. And I was like, that's it? Only 10 more Sundays? Meaning, I guess, 9 more now till football season. Think about that, 9 Sundays.
Why does that depress you?
I mean, I'm looking forward to football season, but I want to enjoy the summer.
Yeah.
We're just getting going here. 9 more, that's it? Only 9?
Well, I mean, but hold, that's 63 days, dude. I mean, you make it seem like it's 13 days. Though. 63 days goes fast.
63 days. But thinking about 9 more Saturdays and Sundays, that's it?
But when you simplify it that way, 9 obviously doesn't seem like many. But when I say you got 63 days, does it feel a little different?
Not enough, man.
Yeah, well, hopefully during those 63 days, the Mets don't wilt, which is one of the things we've hit here. Like, who are the Mets 81 games in? Because they've given you a little piece, and the Yankees have given you a little piece of everything as well. But particularly the Mets, who looked non-competitive to start, and then they were 0-5 and 11 under 500 and slowly found a way to, you know, regenerate a little bit here and went on this sick run, the best month of June of any team in baseball. So you look at what the Mets have done as a team in June. You look what the month of June provided by Aaron Judge from an individual perspective. This Hartenstein deal going to the Thunder. Camps around the corner. We got a lot cooking. Let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. If you guys missed anything, free Odyssey app. Oh, and also the Torres and Stroman stuff, which took off a little bit there. Bill is in Mount Sinai. What's going on, Bill?
It's Phil, but how are you guys doing?
What's up, Phil?
It says Bill. Sorry.
Okay, you guys, I want to tell you guys, you completely ruined my lunch. I was coming off the golf course at Mount Sinai, meeting some friends for pizza at Coliseo, and all I kept thinking was this container of milk.
Yes. It's gross.
It's disgusting.
Absolutely.
I'm now going home to have tuna fish.
Oh, man. Now I'm even more grossed out.
Man, oh, man.
And it's a great place for pizza.
Yeah, I've been to Coliseum.
I heard about it this morning, and now you guys brought it right up, and all I see is pizza and milk.
That's a Recco thing. Jerry Recco.
That's Jerry's fault, not ours. I did not hear that part. Hey, listen, some people have, you know, unique tastes. I mean,
are you a big milk drinker anyway in today's day and age? Like,
you know,
when I
was
younger, sure.
Yeah, I like milk. I mean, more like the 2%, although for the kids, we give them the whole. I like it where, now, I'm not going to pour myself a glass of milk. Now, sometimes daddy might slip down to, like, if there's cookies around, might slip down a little
cookies
late.
And milk.
Yeah. Throw some cookies in the microwave for like 20 seconds, get a little soft, and then dip them in the milk when nobody's watching. That's one thing I will do. The other thing that I do. And I am a big cereal person.
Yeah,
generally good cereal. Like sometimes I'll have the Fruity Pebbles with the kids have it, but I like Special K or like the granolas. I have fairly healthy stuff. But the milk after a sugary cereal, I mean, slurp that down like a dog hitting a bowl. I mean, it's just is money. It is money.
I used to love that too when I was 15.
Yeah, when you were 15. Yeah, I hear
you. PB&J, you know, PB&J, you have a little glass of milk. I don't drink milk anymore, sadly.
Not even a sip? Like, it's not even a house?
No.
I mean, Sammy's got to have some, unless she's, you know, lactose intolerant.
My wife has it. I don't even know. No, I think she uses it to maybe mix it. Well, who the hell knows? I don't know. I don't do it.
It's there. Really?
Yeah, there is the milk there. I don't use it. I just don't
You don't drink coffee, so you don't put anything in your coffee.
Right.
I'll put skim milk in my coffee.
Okay,
just a little bit. Just a little bit. All right. How about Mike up in New Rochelle on BT and Sal? What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Happy belated birthday to you, man. I was trying to get at you last week, man. 100 million more, man.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. You're a great father,
great co-host, and just a great dude, man.
Sal, what's up, brother?
What's up, Mike? How are you?
Just ready to rock and roll with this team. I'm looking at this team being 3 games over .500 when they come back.
I'm really positive about the Mets?
Yes, yeah. I am. I'm a little down, you know. Went, took my kids to the park, came back. They lost the game on Saturday. I was like, oh my God. And then, you know, I went Sunday. Sunday, we watched the game. You know, I went to work. You know me, I work night shift, so I start 6 o'clock at night. I thought, you know, we were going to win the game. You know, Nimmo was at second, no outs. Oh my God. We gave up 5 runs. You know, we lost it. But
two bad losses.
We're going to beat the Nationals. We're going to go into Pittsburgh, but. One thing I was always taught as a young kid playing sport, I wasn't always the best player, and I always teach my daughter this. And I was watching the game when it happened, and my daughter's 9 years old, and I taught her this, and I told her. She actually asked me, why is he talking about his teammate like that? And one thing I was always taught as a kid, you never, even if he's a jerk, if you don't like them, if you can't stand them, if you don't hang out with them after the game or before the game, you never let your teammate look bad on the field, all right? You take care of it in the dugout. I was getting heated myself because he used to do the same thing to Kanha when he was on the Mets, all right? And he used to do it to another player, too. I forgot where it was, the third baseman, Escobar. He was always, like, talking into his glove about the player. Talk to the dude's face. You know what I'm saying? Pull the guy to the edge. Talk to the guy. Do what Lindor did. Whatever Lindor did with McNeil in the basement of Shitty Field.
I don't know if I'd use that as a reference point there, Mike.
Something was done.
The point is, you shouldn't. I'm with you, Mike. The point is, Mike, you shouldn't air out. To me, you shouldn't be airing that out where everybody can see it. So, and it was to a point where Judge had to do the right thing as a captain to go over there and let Stroman know in not a pleasant way. Like, I've seen those exchanges over the years. And sometimes we don't see them. They happen in the clubhouse behind closed doors. Sometimes we see it where guys go over and talk to each other. You know, pull up a chair, put their arm around, and be like, hey, this is why you shouldn't do that. This was, Judge was clearly irritated.
Yeah, he was, to say the least.
And he let Stroman know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
What'd you think about when Papelbon lit up Bryce Harper a couple years ago when Bryce was young and he didn't run out either a pop-up or a
I forget how he did it.
Remember, they actually got in an altercation. I think he grabbed him by the throat. But
like we joked with Wright last week about throwing out Syndergaard's lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Certain guys act, you know, maybe not acting the right way, and you got to teach them a little lesson. But again, that wasn't publicly.
That was private. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm fine. If Stroman wanted to go to Gleyber Torres after the fact, he'd be like, bro, what are you doing? Like, come on, pick it up. The energy's not where you need. I'd be okay with that. The way he did it was, to me, indicative of a selfish individual, which backs up a lot of the stuff that we've heard about Stroman being a selfish player for years. That's why he wears out his welcome wherever he's been.
Yeah, again, I'm so fundamentally with you. Just this situation is different because of Torres. And
is it because you don't like Torres as much or because you like that emotion and attitude from the Yankees?
Well, it's a good question. It's that Torres has needed a kick in the behind for years. Nobody's given it to him, number one. Or I shouldn't say nobody's given it to him. Whatever they've done to try to motivate him hasn't worked yet. So maybe a different approach is required. So I think a lot of it is derived from how I feel about Torres. I'm done with him, and I've been done with Gleyber Torres for years. Everybody knows that. But I'm also an energy guy, but I'm a respect guy. Like, I wouldn't do that to a teammate here at WFA. I wouldn't. I get it. You'd yank him off the field.
I mean, what do you... If Colt did that to a team,
we've had a situation where maybe once or twice it happened with the kids. I think once last year, and you know, we lay down the law and we let them know for sure. But I also think there's a big difference between 9 and 10-year-old kids and grown
right,
men.
Because you're still teaching them.
Yeah.
But it's almost acceptable if they did it because
they don't know better.
Yeah, and then you teach them and then they better not do it again.
I you can look at it that way. You can. It's definitely a teachable moment. I don't know. But I also like the fact that there's a rawness to these Yankees that hasn't been here in a long time. And I think that these guys kind of needed a little bit, certainly before the couple of wins up in Toronto when they were just going through. They looked like they were in a trance, the Yankees. Chris is in Levittown. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, buddy.
Love your show. I'm just calling about the Mets, and I think they're going to do good the rest of the season. I think they really have championship contender. Other than the pitching, which scares me a little bit, I think the lineup is pretty solid.
I mean, other than the pitching, Chris. Now, I'm not saying that the Mets can, you know, have a fun summer here, but championship with that staff? Come on, dude.
The argument is, well, first of all, they're going to get Kodai Senga back at some point.
When?
Well, I mean, at some point, he should be starting. Was he supposed to throw a bullpen yesterday? He should be starting a rehab assignment, I would expect, this week. They're going to have to add to the entire staff, not just Senga and Diaz coming back, although that will help. They need legitimate arms.
Bauer.
That's a whole different thing, which they're not going to do. They're not going to do it. By the way, the Yankees could use him, too. They're also not going to do it.
The Yankees don't need him like the Mets need him.
The Mets need more of a bullpen arm. Oh, be careful. Yankees might need him. I mean, who do you trust exactly in that starting rotation?
Well, I trust Gerrit Cole. I trust Stroman to keep the Yankees in games. Trust Clark Schmidt when he comes back. I mean, no, I'm not saying it's perfect. Yeah, Rodon's a mess. Yeah. Rodon, hopefully you buried him on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, it gets old. What are you going to just pile on? But yeah, he stinks. I told you, I just don't trust Rodon at all. We talked about the emotions that he showed. He's never been good. He's had two good years. Those were the aberrations.
But the two good years were great years.
Understood.
That's what makes it confounding.
But it's still proven,
in two different leagues.
Yeah, I know, but it's still proven to be the aberration so far. Yeah. Like the idea that, Rodon, ERA under 3, he's done that twice.
It's almost 5 now. It's over 4.5. Yeah.
Getting back up there to where it was last year. I mean, he's been whatever, but it's not just him. Anyway, point is, Mets need desperately real, legitimate, viable major league options coming out of the bullpen. They have a minor league pen.
Yep.
You cannot survive. I don't care how many teams get in the postseason. You can't survive with the minor league pen that the Mets are rolling out there. Like, they need to get Diaz back and then make a trade for two bullpen arms, not just one.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I don't disagree with that, but they better do something soon because, the way this thing is stacked, I mean, you can miss the playoffs by a game.
Yeah. I think they'll be all right, ultimately. It's still a long season. I know halfway home now. Yep. But they're right there. It's just, and this is the month. It's now July 1st, and we get the deadline coming up at the end of the month. So you'll know over the next couple of weeks. They're going to get arms. The other problem is, we talked about this weeks ago, I mean, how many teams are going to be in contention?
In the National League at 6.
Okay, and not to mention the American League.
Mm-hmm.
So when you factor that all in, and what do you think the majority of these teams in contention are going to look for?
Arms and probably a power bat if you can find one.
They want bullpen arms.
Yep.
So the Mets are going to have to figure it out and be battling with all these other teams. Taking on money may be the advantage.
But that worries me, because the temptation to beat the other teams to an arm that they deem valuable, and it would be valuable, how much do they skew from what they seemed married to do, and that's build the team the
They're not
right
giving
way.
Up prospects. They're not going to do that. So let's take a... By the way, the answer in the... There could be also an answer in-house, and maybe they just have to go get one. I'd still love two bullpen arms, but you could move Tyler or McGill to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
You bring up Christian Scott, and you get Senga back. If you do that, their rotation is not bad.
McGill's got good stuff. Tyler McGill's got pretty good stuff.
I just don't like him as a starter. Senga, Seve, Quintana, Scott. That's a solid four right there. You know, Peterson, whatever. Like, it's with their lineup, that should be solid
Senga.
Enough.
If Senga, now, I do believe he's going to come back, but if he's not Senga, I will amend one thing. I said, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? And it's going to be close, and I respect what they're doing, but I think they'll fall short. If Senga comes back and is Senga, I would change my opinion on that.
Thinking he alone could get them to the playoffs?
He's got to come back and be basically as good as he was a year ago. It's a big ask.
Senga and Scott. Christian Scott, I think you're sleeping on him a little bit.
Oh, no, I like him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think because the state of the... I like Christian Scott a lot.
Right.
I'm saying the NL, though, you don't need a 40% injection into the staff, but you do need at least 20%.
And then if they get that, now you're just honed in on the bullpen. Because the lineup is what it is. Like, they may be able to... maybe they add a bench bat or tweak a little bit, but they're not looking for a big-time bat.
I would agree with that.
They don't need that. The the bullpen is where they need multiple arms.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It's 12:43 on this Monday, 4th of July week. Holidays upon us. Don't blink. It's going to be training camp soon, very, very soon, for these Jets and these Giants. But we're talking about these Mets today, these Knicks, and these Yankees, specifically the Torres Stroman stuff. Now, I do think that there's times. Let me just reiterate something I feel about the Yankees, because I spent a lot of time with the Mets. But I want to say something about the Yankees team that is separate from the Stroman Torres stuff. You know, when you do a show every day, your opinions are going to change. That's just natural. Now, you don't necessarily want them to change every day, but they're going to change. My opinion has not changed on the Yankees. When I said, I guess it was early last week, that they're not a World Series team. They're not. Doesn't mean they're not going to win 90-something games and be a playoff team. They will be. All right, just given the relatively soft state of the American League and just how great Judge and Soto are and have been and should continue to be. But just because you got a couple of wins in Toronto and Judge disguised some things here by being Judge, they still have problems. And until I see another turn in this rotation, forget about the bats, where five or six of them have done nothing every night. I got to see this rotation again outside of Cole.
Well, that's part of the big issue here. There's nothing the Yankees can do the rest of the way that is going to get me sucked back in again until believing in them as a legit contender until I see it in October.
Except make a trade.
No.
See, for me,
even,
that's where
even,
I would
even
differentiate.
Then, to me, there's nothing. Because
see, I heard you say the other day Vlad Guerrero wouldn't do much for the Yankees. You are absolutely nuts.
Of course he wouldn't do anything. They have many more holes. You think Vlad Guerrero is going to replace the production that they were getting in Giancarlo Stanton or potentially Dominguez?
I think it would be better because he wouldn't hit. He would have a higher average for sure.
You still need,
no question.
You still need, but then you've already lost that.
What do you
now
mean?
You're replacing that. You were getting Stanton and or Dominguez to begin with. Now you're not getting either of them.
Yeah, but you don't know what Stanton's going to be like when he comes back. You don't know when he's going to come back, and you just don't know. There's too many variables there.
Correct.
I mean, imagine having Volpe, Soto, Judge, and Vlad Guerrero.
Okay, and
one
then what?
Four?
Yeah, and then what?
Well, then you could go with Verdugo.
Okay.
You could go with Torres if you want. You could go with, Stanton. I mean, at least you have some options.
Still not good
But
enough.
You're not relying on Stanton the way you will be. If you don't make it, they got to make it. Trade. Now, I'm not saying they're going to get Vlad Guerrero. They got to get something because it's still three hitters and that's it.
But it doesn't solve the issues.
But it lessens one of the problems because first base is a problem.
I think
about this. Last week we said first base, second base, third base, catcher, closer, this, that. Well, at least if you bring in Vlad Guerrero, at least you cross off first base in one of the holes.
I guess that would be my least of concerns. Starting pitching a major issue, bullpen a major issue, and the entire infield an issue, and their ability to perform against good teams or in the clutch. So no matter what they do, they could go get Vlad Guerrero, get everybody else. Until they actually do it in October, I'm not getting sucked back in again because I did get sucked in this year believing that they were different. I thought it was different. And then they fell into this little rut, and they're showing you that it's not necessarily different. Point is, I'm not going to overreact to what they did, the good. I'm not going to overreact to the bad that we've seen so far. Ultimately, the New York Yankees are going to be judged on what they do in October. That's the only thing that matters when it comes to this team. Whoever they trade for, great. Let's see what they do in October. But the biggest issue is something that was a strength for this team, the starting pitching. That's now all of a sudden a big issue.
They got to do some stuff. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal with you on The Fan. Charlie in Northport. Charlie, what's cooking, buddy? How are you?
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you. Just wanted to call about, Hartenstein. One, I think everybody is underplaying the chemistry. Like, on paper, if you looked at the Knicks, all right, they're a good team. But they played much better than a good team. So, good riddance. Thank you. I appreciate your service. But, I don't think it's just plug and play and getting the same results.
I agree. That's why I think it's a big loss for the Knicks. It's not their fault,
yeah,
Charlie. But...
No.
Yeah.
But I think it's a big loss, and it's, again, not just plug and play. And now, the bigger thing I wanted to call for, Gleyber Torres. Everybody wants to trade him, get rid of him. Who are you going to get? If you go to MLB.com or any site that has statistics, he's in like the top half, you know, the top 12, top 15. I think Walk is like number three as a second baseman. What team is going to give you a better second baseman unless you package him with someone we can't afford to lose?
Charlie, but I think you attack it differently, and I understand that question. I think that that point was far more pertinent a year or two ago when Gleyber Torres was clearly a difference maker as a hitter. He's not. And he's a liability on the bags, and he's a liability in the field. So I know this is going to be nice where he looks like an all-star, but it's too intermittent, too infrequently for me. So I don't think that you'll get a better second baseman. That's never been my point. I think you can maybe short up defensively, Peraza, whatever, and then use Torres. And if they're so inclined to do this, which I don't think that they are, I would be if I ran them. I don't know that they are. To then spin him off maybe for a more capable bullpen arm and make the team better in a different way, not with a better second baseman.
Yeah, and by the way, you could also find better second basemen. Not saying they're available right now, but let's not make it like Gleyber's one of the top second basemen in the league. He's not.
Yeah, not anymore.
He had that potential. Yep. He at times put up the numbers. And if he is, then it says something about second baseman in baseball. But I would not want Gleyber Torres on my team, period, end of story. Here we go again because he had a couple of hot games. Yankee fans started to get sucked back.
Amazing.
And seeing the good.
Not me.
No. He cannot be on this team come October. Haven't you seen enough? He's not it. Just to further his point, though, about the chemistry thing or change the point a little bit, he's right. Hartenstein was an integral part of the Knicks' chemistry this season. They're a different team next year. End of story. Randall back full year, Anunoby full year, Bridges. It's a different team. It worked great last year. It had its apex, its ceiling, whatever you want to say. It had its limits. They hit the roadblock, end of the road. They got banged up, couldn't get past Indiana. They took it as far as they could. Hartenstein was a big part of that. It's a different team now. It's a more talented team now. Hartenstein's not going to be a part of it, and the Knicks will be fine.
They're going to miss him. Tommy's in Hackensack. What's happening, Tommy?
Hey, what's going on, boss? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I'm just driving through the Highland Tunnel right now. I'm headed to work.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about the Mets real quick.
Let's go.
All right. So I'm really not happy with the play Francisco Lindor's been having over there. I think they should start turning to some of the farm guys like Chris Pinto, Keith DeBlasio, Joe Ortiz. Those are some really big-name guys down in the minor leagues that could step up and
I was just dropping names out there. Yeah. Congratulations getting the names out there. Lindor's been fine.
He's been
fine. By the way, he's not going anywhere anyway. So the biggest turnaround for the Mets has been Lindor and Nimmo, two guys who – you know, I know I was higher on certainly than you, BT, tried to believe in these guys, and Nimmo's a good offensive player. And then even I reached my breaking point. Like, at some point, they got to do what you expected of them. Otherwise, you just look at him and say, maybe he'll be a good six hitter on a team as opposed to a two or three hitter. But the change in the lineup, and now you're seeing impactful, results from both Nimmo and Francisco Lindor. So the Mets lineup, to me, has turned into a very solid, legitimate, good lineup. It's not why they lost these games to the Astros. That's the bullpen. That's the pitching.
Yep.
Their lineup has been fine.
Yeah, and Lindor had two knocks both games against the Yankees. He had a couple of hits in two of the three games against the Astros. I think only one RBI in those five or six games. But Lindor's come up a lot on this show. Lindor's turned around his entire season. Doesn't mean that I wouldn't trade him in the offseason or that it's a good deal or that he's a great... he's playing so much better, I can't say otherwise.
And I just don't get it. Like, okay, and not that you or I specifically are under criticism, but I feel like there's this notion that the fans who are, in my mind, realistic, but in others' minds, negative, are in the wrong for criticizing Lindor or Nimmo, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too much to ask to have players who are getting paid a lot of money and are expected to be good, productive players, is it too much of us to ask that they actually do it when the bleeping season starts? Like, am I nuts? Or is that like, is that not a thing anymore? Like, okay, so we give them April off, and it's not just a couple of weeks in April. We'll give them May off, too. We give them the first 6 weeks of the season off. Like, so now we just accept that? Do they get paid for half the season or are they getting paid for the full season? So my expectations are supposed to change now? These guys just play half a season and that's supposed to be a good thing? I'm sorry. Unless you do it like Aaron Judge, who doesn't do anything in April and then has an all-time May and June to get back, he get to a point where now he's ahead of his record-breaking home run pace from a couple of years ago. That's not what we're seeing here. We're seeing Lindor and Nimmo be what they should have been to start. I'm not saying you got to be perfect from start to finish of the year.
Yeah.
Every single week.
You got to have some impact.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, well said, man. It's so funny how it's gone. It's like, but that's why I've always pushed back on when it comes up, which it does. Well, he's got the numbers and he had a great season. Well, no, I mean, 30 steals, 30 home runs, sure, is outstanding for any shortstop this day and age. But, you know, when it's bottom heavy or when it's, you know, a lot of it comes during the meat of the season when the Mets are not playing competitive baseball and for the most part kind of pushed aside in the wild card race, I'm sorry, it's not as meaningful to me. Now, the other difference too is as horrific as Judge looked in April, that's also an outlier. Right. I mean, I'm not saying Aaron Judge comes out and hits 330 every April.
No, but that's an outlier.
Sure as hell doesn't hit, you know, 129 with an OPS of 430. There was at one point Lindor was literally the worst hitter in baseball. Now, we knew that that wasn't going to hold up. But it becomes more and more worrisome as he gets older.
For months.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's fair pushback. I mean, imagine, you know, whether or not he gives the Knicks, let me take Brunson for a moment. Imagine whether or not he gives the Knicks a discount of, the discount to give them some more maneuverability. So let's say we're sitting here. I know we don't dissect necessarily the Knicks night, although you and I love it. Like we do the Yankees and the Mets, it's a little different style on the radio here at the Fan. But 2 months in, Jalen Brunson is averaging, I don't know, 14.3 points per game, and he's shooting 36% from the field. Not three, from the field overall. We're not going to be like, what the hell's going on with Jalen Brunson?
Right, of course.
Well, it's 2 months. He's got to ease into the seat. Nonsense. You should not have that kind of consistent drop-off all the time. Now, Nimmo usually is not quite like that, but there's an acceptance by some. As long as the numbers are there at the end of the year, yeah, but that's not a superstar. That's always been my pushback against Lindor.
And if Nimmo and Lindor, even more specifically Lindor, because Nimmo was hitting the ball hard, people want to say bad luck, whatever it may be. But if Lindor was doing what he's supposed to be doing all year long, the Mets would be right there with the Braves right now. They wouldn't be 5.5 games behind them. They maybe would have the top wild card, and maybe it'd be a different feel. I know that they've got on a heater and gotten themselves back into things, and the vibes are high right now, the OMG thing, all that stuff, that's
great. The video,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's not pretend why the Mets were so bad and they fell to a point where 11 under and why we were so angry. Because even though they didn't have great expectations, even though they weren't built to be a World Series team, they should have been far better than what they were. And now the guys are playing the way that we expected them to play from the beginning of the year. That should not be accepted just because it's all good now. They got to start the year playing well.
Let's get Anthony, who's in Milwaukee with BT and Sal. What's up, Ant?
What's going on, guys?
Hello.
Hey, listen. Yeah, you guys there?
Yes. What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's going on? Listen, so you guys just hit on so many other points while I was on hold that I'd love to address, but I'll stick to what I called with originally.
Okay.
So let's just obviously goes without saying that in 2 weeks from now, right, hypothetically, the Mets are still sitting where they are now, game or two behind, really no more than that. Right? And we turn around, it's like, okay, it's time to add help. How important is it for Met fans this season to end up with a wild card spot that we know potentially will probably end up getting, you know, drafted in the first round of the playoffs, to actually trade pieces that are part of our future to be good this year? And when I bring that up, I mean someone, let's take Brett Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
Have we seen enough with Brett Beatty that he's still considered part of the future? Mm-hmm. Or are we willing to trade someone like a Beatty for a bullpen arm like a Kenley Jansen or someone that's really going to, you know, solidify the holes that we have? Are we willing to touch any part of our future?
I mean, I think it's to each individual. I don't know what Stearns feels about that. If you're asking me, I would trade Beatty. Now, I'm not trading him for a bullpen arm. It's just bad business to trade a player with that potential, even though I don't believe in him, with years of control for a bullpen arm rental.
Yep.
So I wouldn't be opposed to moving Beatty, but it would have to be the right move. And that's where Stearns comes into play, where he may trade a guy like Beatty, but it's going to be for a player with years of control as well. Maybe just a piece that fits your puzzle better.
Is he still getting reps at second?
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, every time I see him on X, he's hitting a bomb.
Yeah,
and he's got 9 home runs.
I know.
I know he did it last year, too.
But here's the issue that you and I both have with him. Is he a second baseman? Like defensive?
He doesn't look like a second baseman, though.
He can't field third.
No.
No.
Usually, guys who can't play up the middle go to the corners.
I'd rather put him in a corner outfield spot.
Yeah, okay,
than
right.
Second base.
You can't.
Or at least try him there.
You don't take a failed corner infielder and move him up the middle.
No, you do the opposite.
That's what I'm saying.
You do the opposite.
Guys who can't cut it up the middle, don't have the quick feet, you put him in a corner.
Or the outfield.
So now they're trying to move Bea to the second. And I get why, because theoretically, you know, McNeil's done nothing. Iglesias, you know.
He's 34 years old.
Yeah, his biggest hits are off the field and on them. Mm-hmm. And he's been good for the
Mets. You like the song, by the way?
I do. Yeah. It's actually
catchy
song.
Right?
Yeah, I like it. I like the OMG Mets better than the Grimace Mets because it's like an organic thing that they had. Whatever.
Yeah, it's fine. I can see
anyway,
that.
Anyway, Iglesias is a good part of the team, valuable part of the team, but he's a bench player.
Mm-hmm.
So is there room at second base for potential with Beatty? I guess he's just not a good second baseman. And maybe his numbers play offensively better there. And if he can't play third, maybe he's more valuable. I don't know. I'm sure the reasoning is to try to make him as versatile as possible. If you can't play any position well, maybe try to play at least all positions and be serviceable there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just would look to move on from. I've seen enough of Brett Bates.
Yeah, I'm still hanging on a little bit. Not nearly as much as I was. I'm probably going to wind up taking the L on Brett Beatty. I thought he was going to really hit. I'm not going to give up on him yet because I still believe a little bit in that swing,
yeah.
But he doesn't seem to have, I don't want to sound like a scout, but I don't see the hips. I don't see any fluidity. I don't know how he's going to play second base. I just that seems nonsensical. Put him at first, put him at third, put him at left, put him at right. Second base to me is outside of shortstop and catcher and center field. That's the last place I'd put him.
And by the way, BT, if he hit enough, they'd find a position.
That's the old adage. You hit, they get you.
And they specifically, I don't care if it's second, third, first, outfield, they'd figure it out. But that's the biggest question. We know what he is defensively. He's not very good.
Yep.
Is his bat going to play at the major league level? So far, it hasn't.
It has not. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Bogus is up there. We'll come back, get to your calls next on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.